Órale pues, Raza. Welcome to Chicano Highlights. I am your host, the Beto Man, and we have a very special guest here with us, Mr. Alfred Alva. How are you doing today?
I'm doing great. Thanks for inviting me.
Órale. Now, you do computer tech, ¿verdad?
Yes.
What is your official title?
Computer support pretty much is administration of computer systems, monitor that they're doing and working fine. The filtering aspect of it, which is what I primarily did in the technical industry, was monitor people, employees at different workplaces throughout the U.S. that they do not go to bad sites, pornographic sites, sports sites, those type. They get a block page. That was our job, to make sure the block pages were working efficiently for everybody.
Okay. And so then, so do you set up websites? What do you do exactly now?
Now I'm doing websites. I've had quite a few customers, Estrada Brothers, the Cougar Estrada, Jose Rizzo's Latin Jazz on All-Stars, East LA Review, of course, and an actress, Maggie Palomo. She's an actress. So it's been very, very exciting as I learned HTML. It was a very popular programming language back in the 80s.
Okay. So let's get into your background. Where are your parents from?
Well, my dad, Fredo, is from El Paso, Texas. He's still alive. He's 89 years old. My mother, she's passed away. She's from Tempe, Arizona. And she passed away at 78.
And what was her name?
Maria Luisa Alva.
All right. And brothers and sisters, how many do you have?
I have my sisters, Sandy, Shashi, I call her. Her name's Anna Jackson, and Susie Behar, brother Louis, and my brother Richard Alva.
All right. And so where did you grow up?
I grew up in Watts, pretty much Watts in the Florence and the Huntington Park area as a child, pretty much.
What year, más o menos?
This was in 50, what, I guess, 60, the 60s.
Okay, so Watts was all negritos, wasn't it?
Yeah.
All barrio negritos?
I was pretty much, being a Mexican, I was considered white, and I would get pretty much pushed around all the time.
Really? Okay, yeah. All right. ¿Pero se portaban bien o se portaban mal contigo?
Se portaban bien. It was good. It was good.
Good. All right. And so where did you go to elementary and middle school?
The elementary was Parmalee Elementary in Watts. The junior highs were two, Southgate and Downey Junior High. And then, of course, high school in Downey High.
All right. And so did you graduate high school?
I did not. I got in some trouble there with some drugs. I was expelled and had to finish my GED in adult school. Pretty much that was the end of my school.
All right. And so, but you did finish, ¿verdad?
Yes, I did finish.
All right. And then, so what did you do after high school?
Well, after high school, I got married at 19. My wife was 17.
What's her name?
Colleen Alva.
And you have kids?
Yes, we had two girls, Lynette and Denise.
And so where did you guys live?
Slauson, I think a city of industry around that area, a couple apartments here and there as I started working in a real job as an assembler for an assembly line at Thermador Industries in city of industry.
And what does that mean? What do you do?
We built stoves. They're the cooktops that they pop in houses.
Oh, okay.
Microwave had just come out, big old test tube inside of those beginning ones. We did the stovetops in my assembly line.
What year was that, más o menos?
Ooh, that was in 74, around there.
Okay, all right. And so then what else did you do?
Well, from there, through a friend, I got connected to the construction industry. He had attained a job, Rerod Steel, it was called, in Carmenita there in Santa Fe Springs. And we put the rebar reinforcement in the swimming pools, and it looks like a basket at 12 inches square, and we put that in, and then the gunite crew would come along after we put the steel and shoot the gunite on the walls. It's real dry when it comes out.
Mm-hmm. And did you ever build like any really weird pools or anything like that?
Oh, a lot of weird pools. We call them monster pools, those Grecian shaped ones, because you have to bend the half inch rebar with your knees. to shape it, and your hands, and something called a hickey bar. It's a bar with two prongs to help you bend sharp corners. It was very, very hard work. We were always sweating constantly in those holes, but it paid very well. It was like $1.10 a foot. So the bigger the pool, the more you got. So it was good money in the summer, but unfortunately, in the wintertime when it rains, you can't work in the mud. And even though we tried, but it was difficult to handle your finances in the wintertime.
How long did you do that?
I did that for like 15 years. Different companies. They finally did offer us a position to open an office in the Bay Area. I actually lived in Danville, California, and we ran. My other friend, he lived in San Jose, so we had a big spread between us. So we hustled up some accounts and started working for the company Dolphin Steel, based in San Diego, Bill Bug. And we did very well, and that lasted a good 2.5 years or so of some good money and bonuses and stuff that was taking care of us. But unfortunately, the recession came in the 90s and took us down to our finances, where we actually became homeless.
Wow, really?
Yeah, it was rough. I had started during this slow time to build a lawn service, cutting people's lawns. And these houses are very wealthy over there in Danville, California, so they didn't mind paying good money for the lawn service. But I only had like 6-7 customers, so it wasn't making a whole lot of money. I paid the rent for a little bit, but then, of course, you lose a 1 or 2 customers, the finances get funny. So we ended up living out of my 69 van, yellow-white van, which I carried my lawnmowers, my daughters, and we stayed in campgrounds and lakes around there.
How old were your daughters by this time?
Oh, they had just started school, so we actually pulled them out of school. In those days, if you were homeless with your daughters, they would take them away from you. Mm-hmm. So we were very scared. We didn't want anybody to see them with us during the day when they're supposed to be in school. And we were like hiding homeless people. Mm-hmm. But we also found out there was a lot of homeless in these campgrounds. We call them livers, because everybody's just struggling to survive. And we would actually sneak in at night so you don't have to pay, and then sneak out early in the morning. That otherwise, you have to pay for the $14 for the day. So it was that kind of living that was very rough.
How do you feel now when you see homeless people on the street? I mean, going through that experience.
It is. I stop. I always give them money. I always ask them, do you know there's help for you? There's a way out of this. Now that I know the Lord, I say that, you know, because before I would have just been lost as they were. Most people that I encounter now, I give them either a bag of food. Sometimes I go to the 99-cent store, I buy $20 worth of stuff. I give them bags of water, tuna fish, crackers, something, and they're grateful for it. But I also tell them there's a way out, and a lot of them don't really want to help. They just leave me alone. I'm fine. Tell them about the Lord. I'm fine. I'm cool, I'm not ready, all that kind of stuff. And it's really sad, but I have a heart for it.
Right.
I really do.
All right. So what happened after, how did you get out of the homelessness? What happened?
Well, we ended up moving back to LA with our in-laws. A Marine and her husband took us in a 2-bedroom house. So that was rough. We stayed there with them for probably about a year, trying to get a job going. I did start back in the steel again with another company. Meanwhile, my wife started attending a Bible study at the end of the street with Sandra Woody. They were going to church. They were Christians going to church at Cornerstone in Pico Rivera, and they would invite her to the Bible study. She always say, no, I'm not ready. I'm not ready. So she went one day, and then she received the Lord. Kate told me about it. She was excited, and I said, I don't want to have nothing to do with it. And I seen a change after a few weeks. She had a different attitude, and I said, okay, I'll go to church with you. So sure enough, here I go to church, and Pastor Barbara Purcell, she was a female pastor at the time, she found out I play drums, and she got her eyeballs lit up and said, we need a drummer. So got saved. Gave my life to the Lord, had a big change. you know, the song that says, "Once I was blind, now I can see," that became a reality.
Amazing Grace.
Yes, Amazing Grace, because I read the Bible many times. It made no sense. Once I got saved, now everything made sense. It was weird. But that song for sure means something to me now. At that point, yeah, I started playing drums. I stayed there for about 10 years. We got to travel as a praise and worship band. She called us a salsa band because we're all Hispanic, but we didn't play a salsa. We actually got to play at a homeless shelter in LA Mission in Los Angeles. Ray Ocosio, he's now rest in peace, passed away, but he's an awesome singer. I have it on YouTube. It's based on The Thrill Is Gone from B.B. King, but we Christianized it. And Rosie Grier was there, and he came up. I don't know if anybody knows who Rosie Grier is.
The football player.
Football legend. And he came up. He says, "Hey, man, can I join you? Can I sing with you guys?" So him and Ray went at it. I mean, they just exchanged words back and forth. The sound was good. The homeless were having a blast. It was just amazing, and it was really good. It being in the band and playing for symposiums and other churches was really exciting.
Steve, now let's go back just a little bit, because you know, all of a sudden you tell me that you're a drummer. When did you start playing drums?
I played drums in a garage band when I was a teenager.
Really?
My friend, he played sax and bass. And I actually started with some boxes. If you play the boxes right, cardboard boxes, they have a tone. So I would build me a box drum set. My dad seen me really trying hard, and he went bought me a drum set.
Aww.
So we started a garage band and played at the school. We played at parties, you know, all the hit songs kind of thing.
Yeah,
it was fun. But yeah, I hadn't touched drums until I went back to church, and she found out and then started up again.
All right. Now, so were your parents, you know, most Mexican family, you know, Chicanos, right?
Mm.
Their parents are very Catholic. They go to church. What was your reluctancy of not going to church?
Oh, are you kidding? We made all our sacraments in the Catholic Church, communion and First Communion, and then, of course, Holy Matrimony. So we were going to church. We're a Catholic church, but I don't know. I can never understand what the preacher was saying. The priest, all I hear was echoes. Not until I got into a real church that I can understand what the Bible's about and understand it clearly. Again, once I was blind, I can see. You know, it was that one of those things. So that's what the Catholic Church is cool for those that attend it. I have nothing against the Catholic Church. They love Jesus. But if you really want a strong understanding of the Bible, you have to go with someone that can break it down for you.
All right. And so then now you played in a band, you're with the church. Where did you go from here? What other jobs did you have?
Well, from there, we started. Like I said, I was working with the steel. I had gotten back into steel, trying to get my feet up back on the ground. I actually decided to go.
So when you say steel, you mean rebar,
the
right?
Rebar,
okay,
steel.
Okay, correct. Okay. Yeah. Because it's interesting how I mean, it is made out of steel, but you really kind of picture something else in your head. You
yeah.
Know?
Yeah. It's an art, I think, the way you shape and bend to the shape of the pool, whatever it is. We built caves, we built waterfalls, amazing things with steel. So from there, I went after what's called a C-51 contractor's license. I got my contractor's license. I had to study and go take a test, an intense four-hour test. Passed it. Actually, I failed it the first time, had to go back, and then I passed it.
And what does this license do for you?
This is a structural steel C-51 license, which makes you a contractor for the state of California. So you can bid jobs, which I ended up bidding for Los Angeles. I don't know if you've ever been to Muscle Beach in Venice. I built all that concrete barbells out of steel. I had a fabricator bend me the big number 11 bar, because steel goes 3/8, half inch, 1 inch, all the way up to number 11, 11/8, which is pretty thick bars. Those have to be shaped by big machines. So I have pictures on my website of the process. But that was very exciting to get that contract. I made some good money on it. provided for my family for about 2.5 years. I did that. And then another recession hit.
A recession, right?
A recession.
Oh, what year, más o menos?
That was around 1990. Around that area, we hit the bottom, had to move to La Habra. I lost my, I had a beautiful truck, a four-door truck that used to carry the steel. So I ended up pretty much...
What color?
It was white with blue stripes on the bottom, 1988 dual cab.
All right.
And so I ended up without a truck and no job, but still been able to provide for the rent. It was very low rent there in La Habra. So what does a man do? I had to go get on a bus, go to Labor Ready, who pays you daily. It's a company still in existence today. And you just go, they assign you a job and you ride with somebody and you go do what they are doing there at a warehouse or what have you. I actually ended up going to a construction site because I was a framer back in the days when I was in the Bay Area. I did some house framing. So I knew how to do that. But at the Labor Ready job, I ended up going to a construction site and had to pick up trash.
Right.
So I was picking up trash, watching all these laborers doing what I know how to do. And I just looked up, I go, wow, this is amazing. It was like a changing point for me of I need to do something better than this. So I ended up getting called to a warehouse of partitions was one of my jobs. Getting there, the owner took me to the back warehouse. They had two warehouses there in Fullerton. And it was a messy warehouse with partitions thrown on the floor, laying against walls, wires that go underneath the partitions. Now, these are office partitions that go in offices. They have electrical things that go on the bottom. They were all messed up in clumps. So he said, Alfred, what can you do with this? I go, well, let me organize it for you. So I did. Worked about 8 hours there putting the partitions by size, by color. And the electrical also by size, and tagged him. So he came in at the end of the day and goes, "Oh my God, this is great! Can you come back again tomorrow so they can request you to come back?" So I stayed there for a week. He really organized his warehouse, and he hired for me a full time job at that point, which was the beginning of my office partition career.
How long did that last?
That lasted about 10 years.
Wow.
Several companies I worked with. Renew Office, which was the next step. They were really installing partitions for all kinds of high-rise buildings and regular commercial buildings. And he actually made me a lead for the 14 installers we had there. So I would take the project and the plans and meet with the project managers and run the job. And so that was fantastic. I just moved up real quick with that company.
And so you really started getting all this hands-on training without any real education, right?
That's correct.
There you go.
They had the guys were kind. They were all Spanish-speaking there. And they were very kind, and they showed me the ropes, the shortcuts, all that stuff that I didn't know. And sure enough, I picked up and was able to plan my projects.
All right. Where did you go from there?
From there, there was a change. My daughter, Lynette, husband, who had went to the technical school out here in I think it's Corona, MIT or something like that.
Mm-hmm.
He graduated and got a job offer in the Bay Area. At that time, during all these years of our hard times, my daughter had two boys, Joey and Tommy. They are now in the Army Reserves, and one rejoined actually in Texas. So those boys were just like having kids again, but even more Joey. We couldn't stand seeing him move away. So I immediately started looking for work up in the Bay Area and found a big, large corporation, Steelcase is the name of the company. They do office partitions, like the latest, it would be the latest, greatest office partitions in that time. So they took me in and sent me out to Michigan to get certified to be a lead installer. due to my experience, and started having me run jobs with the level, what they call level one techs that are just learning. So I did very well there with the project managers. They were always requesting me to run their projects. Got paid very well there. And that was also a nice ride, about 2.5 years there. And I got to build office partitions for Intel. It was a brand new building for Intel, 7 floors, 2,000 partitions of offices. And the hard part was keeping an eye on 7 floors with 14 installers when a lot of them would fall asleep in the cubicles and you couldn't find them. So I devised a system that broke that. I made a list of every step of that partition that little office is going to take, work surface, electrical, power poles, all that stuff, on a list. And outside the cubicle, they had to sign their name, what they did. That way I can tell who worked and who didn't.
Right.
And I caught a couple of them sleeping.
Right.
But that was a good catch-all list that I made that came out really and worked out for me, so people wouldn't take advantage.
Exactly. So meanwhile, you're still getting certified and you're moving from one job to another, you know, which people need to understand. If you don't have an education, you have to make a living. But you were finding really good jobs and you were moving forward little by little, ¿verdad?
That's correct. But I also believe the Lord had his hand on our life. Things started changing as soon as we received the Lord, started serving him in a good capacity, and being faithful, being there on time for the praise and worship bands, all that stuff really counts. And I believe when God sees your heart, he starts taking care of you. I call it providence, because providence is a timely preparation of future events. And that's what I believe. God held me by the hand and took me. And people call it coincidence that you met this person or met that person that led to this. I don't buy that no more. It's not coincidence.
No, there's no coincidence. So how many more jobs did you have?
Okay, from that point, a good friend of mine at that installation company, Lindsay Ferrari in the Bay Area, the Steelcase company, he worked also. He was a African-American. Very, very energetic. He came, Alfred, this job I just came from, people are buying BMWs and pulling up with new cars. I go, well, what happened? He goes, I don't know. It's some kind of internet company, and they gave stocks. And so I said, well, let's go check it out. So we went over there and found out that they're hiring customer service reps. The customer service rep's job is to authorize the customer, the new customer, to be able to pay for the modem, get the internet connection, get their credit card information, all that stuff, that, you know, basic customer service stuff, take the call and make them go to the next step, which is installation. So from that point, we learned the system. We learned, we already had computer skills, because I had started with delving into computers with one of the computers that a company gave me when I was tearing down an office furniture. He said, you want this computer? We don't want it. They're old. I took it home and started messing with it. That's where I learned about computers. So I was familiar with using a computer there at the desk. And again, you know, it just so happened, you know.
What year was this, más o menos?
This was 1995-ish.
Okay, all right.
We started there at the customer service rep for a year. And meanwhile, across from us was a bunch of desks and people on the phone. We said, what's over there? Who's that? They're tech support. So we said, what's that? What do they do? Well, they just hook up the customers that are having problems, sync up their modems, fix their PC, connect all the technical stuff on the PC. And so we said, well, we can do that. You know, we can learn. So we started studying the materials. There's a knowledge base. Every company always has a knowledge base. So we started learning the knowledge base and what needs to be done. And we talked to some techs. And sure enough, when the opening came up, we went over there and signed up. And they interviewed us. And we jumped in, 30 calls a day.
Wow.
It was pretty intense, because you'd have customers cussing you out. You have a lot of things going on when people are frustrated. They can't get their internet. So we did well there. They actually made me a team lead to write documentation for the new text coming in, which was exciting. They had me on a little magazine thing, and I would give a little article kind of thing to the text, and they'd publish it. So there was the one more step left. It was called the NOC. There were network operations upstairs. They actually handle all the servers. Now, a server is like a big computer at a remote location, putting out information all day for customers that connect to it. So that's a server. Well, there was 600 servers that they managed there throughout the U.S. So we said, whoa, this is really exciting. How does it work? What is it? It was a system, programming system called Unix. It's a different look on the computer. If you were to pull up a Unix, it would be almost like typing in black and white text. Mm-hmm. So we learned some of that command. It's called command line. And when an opening came up, we both went up there and we got the position.
Wow.
They sat us down. We were working on brand new Solaris machines in those times. So, yeah, we did a year and a half of that. And one funny point, at one time, we had 1.2 million customers, and it was Christmas time, and just me and Alex ran the whole operation by ourselves. Now, if something broke, we would get database engineers, networking engineers on the phone and put it out, but we had no fires put out that night. But we're saying, wow, dude, we're controlling 1.2 million customers right now. AT&T bought it out after a year and a half there, and they laid off 2,000 employees. So that was a big boom crash for us. We ended up coming back to LA again. And that's where the next career move started with the experience I had gained there. I put an application in Monster.com. Keep in mind, I have no certifications, no college degree. I have nothing technical that per se to prove that I even worked there because the company folded, but I did have a pay stub. And at that time, they were paying us $60,000 a year, which was in 1998, which was good money then. So an office called me, M86 in Orange County called me and says, hey, I see you have technical knowledge. Do you know how to sell? I go, sure, I know how to sell. I've sold all my life with the steel business. And I got her to call me in for an interview. I passed the interview. They put me in a little cubicle area, and we had to make like 30 to 40 calls a day calling IT people, asking them, do you guys have a filtering service? Now, a filtering service is when employees at a company are surfing the web, sports, and all of a sudden they hit Playboy.com or some site that's not allowed, you get a block page. That's what's called a filter. A lot of companies now have those block pages. That's what we had. That's what we sold, was that mechanism that blocks you. So from that point on, I sold for 2 years. I made all my sales goals and found out next door in the other building, there's a technical center there that does Unix. See, that's God working along the way here, guiding me along. So I met Gio, that was a manager over there. I said, hey, Gio, give me a chance. I know Unix, and I know I can do good in the technical support area. He called me over. Sure enough, boom. I got busy and started excelling there and fixing people all the time, because we would have like root access to their servers and be able to fix it from a long ways away across the U.S. And at that point, I got promoted there to quality analyst, which required me to check the quality of our services with customers, and did well for about 6 months. And then they promoted me to quality analyst trainer. They gave me a crew in Waco, Texas to go up and train, create the documentation they needed. And I did that, flew over there a couple of times and would train the 14 employees, because they were like the first call center that customers would hit. So it was very important that they do not upset the customers. They don't ask the wrong questions, dumb questions that we considered, you know, inappropriate. And phone etiquette, all that stuff we covered. And I did very well there. And that company ended up moving to Colorado. So they took the whole support section. So I was there 5 years at that company, 2 years sales, and then the other as a technical agent. Now, when that company moved to Colorado, we heard about it luckily, prior to that, we found out that they were going to move. So we started shopping at a company called WebSense. And WebSense is in San Diego. So I lived at Paris at that time. I'll explain how I got to Paris shortly after this. But I went over there, interviewed with seven people. They take you in rooms and give you seven interviews, two at a time, giving you questions, technical questions to answer. So finally, I passed all those, and they took me up to the director. And the director looked at me. He goes, "How did you get here?" I said, "What do you mean?" He goes, "Well, you don't have no degrees. You have no education as far as college." I go, "I got here because I've done from root access, hands-on, live customer production systems at large companies." He goes, I see that. He goes, "You're hired." So they paid me very well there too. And that was awesome. Now, this is era, this was like, what, 3-4 years ago. Now the companies are moving to Texas, San Antonio. They ended up moving to Texas. That was pretty much the end of my career with technical, because there was no other companies that would even look at me without all these certifications and degrees. So what I'm trying to say, really, there's hope. If you go in through the back door, start at the bottom of a company and show your efforts, they will pay off in the long run. Now, the other part and the greatest part that's moving me now to Texas, we're going to be moving to Texas soon. We moved when I was working at the Irvine Company with my friend Imran. He's a Muslim. He said, "Alfred," in the kitchen, we were sitting there, and he goes, "Why haven't you bought a house?" I said, "Well, I never had the down payment for a house." He goes, "I'll back you up." I said, "What?" He goes, "I'll back you up, whatever it takes." Because he had, you know, they have some good funds, they have family with lots of money. And I said, "Okay." So at that same time, my daughter had mentioned to us that there's a program, FHA program, that does down payment assistance. So we had good credit, and we didn't have no money, of course. But knowing that Imran had my back, I said, "Okay, let's apply." So we applied. Sure enough, we drove out to Paris. There was some houses for $199 out there. Brand new. Even the used houses in older Paris were more expensive. So we ended up applying. We passed. We bought. We got to pick the lot. We got to pick what goes in it. And ever since then, this run of 5 years living there has taken us to a six-figure equity income. And we are just thanking God for everything that He's done in our life. And that is my great story of how God can move in your life, even if you don't have nothing. And keep in mind that I never did have a degree. I never had technical expertise in anything other than hands-on. But it all worked out great because I served in a church. I was a drummer in a worship band for like 20 years. One, 10 about was in Cornerstone Fellowship. The other 10 was at Destiny in Whittier. So I served the Lord in a good capacity. I was always faithful. I was always there. I gave Him my tithes and my offerings, and God has been good to me. And I just want to encourage anybody listening to this that there is hope.
All right. That's going to do it for us. Any last comments?
Those that don't have or out of school, didn't graduate, those that are continuing education, God bless them. But the bottom line is, really, you need God in your life to guide you. Me and my wife have been married 48 years. There is no way we would have made a marriage last that long without the Lord in our life. That's key. That is so key, because you learn morals, you learn respect, you learn to love, you learn to give and take, not just do your thing. I'm the man, you submit, that kind of stuff. The machoism that goes with it, all that gets wiped away. But there is hope, and everybody's life is different. Everybody's going to go down a different path, but you have to at least seek and serve and be dedicated to it, and you will come out ahead.
Yeah, little by little, ¿verdad?
Yeah.
So then how do people get a hold of you if they need to get a hold of you? Do you have Facebook? What are your websites, Twitter, all that good stuff?
I have a website that connects to all those other sites. It's aalva.net. I have pictures there of Muscle Beach. I have my music. Nowadays, I play background music and play my guitar or saxophone or bass. And I just play along with music.
Órale, pues, raza. That's going to do it for us. This has been the Beto Man. You've been listening to Chicano Highlights. Remember to always stay tuned to KUCR 88.3 FM. Every Friday night from 5:30 in the afternoon to 7 a.m. in the morning. Of course, also on KUCR.org, simulcast. You can also listen to podcasts on EastLAReview.com. That's REVUE.com. Ahí te guacho. Hasta la próxima.
Yeah. All right, Brother Rogan, you're going to join me in this song right here.
Praise Amen. You. Brother Rosenberg.